And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Larry Noble is planning to move from his hotel near Hollywood into a small and less expensive place so that he can save more money to apply to his debts and set up a suitable living allowance for his wife, Mary, when she gets out of the New York hospital where she's recovering from the acid burns inflicted by the enraged Claudia Vincent. For Larry is convinced his wife holds him indirectly responsible for her condition, since he had so insistently believed in Claudia despite all protests. And Larry believes the Hollywood picture contract he now has was arranged because Mary wanted him as far away from her as possible. Right now, it's mid-morning on a bright Sunday. Larry is free for the day, and he's driving the car his friend Tom Bryson loaned him down Hollywood Boulevard. And at a designated corner, he pulls over to the curb and waits. Several minutes later, a bus stops at the corner, and an attractive young girl gets out. Larry blows his horn.
Dora! Here I am.
Oh, gee, you didn't make it, Mr. Noble. And right on time, too. I thought you might change your mind or something.
Oh, then you must have a rather low opinion of me, Dora Dean. Here, let me open the door.
Now, you know I don't have a low opinion of you, Mr. Noble. My folks tell me if I don't quit talking about you all the time, they'll turn me right out of the house.
Well, in that case, you'd better take their advice. You know, it's mighty nice of you to give up your day off from the studio to drive around to help me find a place to live.
Oh, I'm tickled to death to do it, Mr. Noble. Look, I've got a whole list of places to go.
Great.
That is, if you really mean what you said about wanting just an inexpensive room.
I certainly do mean it, Dora. The reason I'm out here now is to save as much money as I can to pay up all my bills, particularly the hospital bills for my wife back in New York. So you just tell me where to go and I'll follow directions.
All right. You better keep right on this way for a while and I'll tell you where to turn.
Hey.
Good night. That man nearly drove into you. Oh, honestly, the way some people drive out here.
You know, that fellow looks kind of familiar. I'm beginning to wonder about him.
You mean you know him, Mr. Noble?
No, but I think he was following us back from the studio yesterday when I drove back with Mr. Marco. Let's keep an eye on him.
You mean you think he might be following you?
Well, I don't see why he should, Dora, but it is kind of funny. I'd swear it's the same man.
I'll watch him and make sure. He's falling back now. Oh, there he goes around the corner.
Yeah, I guess I was just imagining things. You better stop that.
Do you really think it's the same man? I mean, maybe you ought to be careful. He might be one of those confidence men or something.
Oh, and he wouldn't be following me. Not in my present financial state. Well, let's just forget it, Dora. I'm sure it's only my imagination.
Okay. Well, then, keep right on going about a couple of miles or so and then turn right. I'll show you when we get to the street.
Meantime, out on his luxurious Long Island estate at Oyster Bay, wealthy Rupert Barlow, who is infatuated with Mary Noble, is spending a restless morning looking through the newspapers in his library. Julia Dixon, his attractive housekeeper, is with him, and she says,
"Would you like to see this paper, Rupert? Maybe you'll find it more interesting."
No, thanks, Julia. I've seen enough papers for the time being.
You're awfully restless this morning. What's the matter?
Nothing. Why do you ask?
Because you're so nervous. Why don't you go out and play a round of golf or something?
I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay at home. That's why I came out here to Long Island instead of staying at my apartment in New York.
Awfully nice to have you here. You've been staying in New York such a lot. I sometimes wonder why you want to keep up a big place like this when you're here so little.
I've had a great many things to do in New York lately, and a lot on my mind, Julia.
Is there anything I can do to help?
No, nothing at all. Just don't bother about me.
Well, I'm sorry if my being here disturbs you, Rupert. Perhaps I should go to my cottage and just leave you alone.
Oh, don't be so touchy, Julia. You always take my mood so personally.
It's a habit I've developed after being with you for 10 years. It's hard to break. I never know what to expect nor how to treat you.
Oh, that's ridiculous, Julia.
I don't think so. I think perhaps I should realize that I'm just one of your employees, paid to run your home and see that everything is done to make you comfortable. I shouldn't allow myself to behave as though I were someone you ever noticed.
You know perfectly well that I'm very devoted to you, that I couldn't possibly manage without you.
You appear to manage only too well without me, Rupert. I realize that all the hopes I ever had are just empty dreams. If I'd had any sense at all, I'd have left you years ago and tried to make something of my life.
Julia, please, I wish you wouldn't always take that aggrieved tone.
I know, Rupert. You prefer to have me docile and patient forever.
I'd like to have you understand that right now I have a great deal on my mind.
I thought it was just one thing on your mind. Or should I say one person?
What do you mean by that?
Well, isn't it obvious? I mean Mary Noble. What's the matter, Rupert? Are you afraid of becoming too involved?
I don't know what you're talking about, Julia.
I know that you're seeing her every day.
How could you know that?
Well, aren't you?
Who's been telling such stories?
No one has to tell me, Rupert. I know you too well. And I know that when you suddenly decided to postpone your southern cruise, it means you had a reason. Mary Noble.
Oh, you're letting your imagination run away with you.
Where am I? Right after Larry Noble flew to the coast, you suddenly changed your plans. You've been staying in New York at your apartment ever since. I can put two and two together.
Your unreasonable jealousy of Mary Noble does you little credit. I should think that now, when she's confined to a hospital, you might have some sympathy for her.
I'm sure Mary Noble doesn't want my sympathy, particularly when she has yours. I'd be the last person she'd care about.
You've never done anything to make her feel friendly toward you.
Why should I? When she stands between me and my own happiness.
Oh, nonsense, Julia.
It isn't nonsense, and you know it, Rupert Barlow. I'm sure you've gone out of your way to make sure she'll be impressed with your attention.
For your information, Mary Noble will probably be scarred for life when she leaves the hospital. Yet that doesn't seem to touch you at all.
No. If it were true, then I'm sure you wouldn't be spending so much time with her.
I suppose you hope that she will be disfigured.
Perhaps I do. It would mean the end of a hold over you. I know that much.
You're being callous and cruel. If I've been visiting Mary, it's only because I know she's alone and frightened and needs someone to give her moral support, since her husband obviously doesn't care enough to stay at her side.
Somehow I can see you as a great unselfish friend. It's just not in character, Rupert. You must know more about her condition than you've admitted, or you wouldn't be wasting your time.
I'm not going to sit here and listen to any more of this kind of talk, Julia.
Where are you going?
I don't know, but I'm going out. And I have no idea when I'll return.
And at this same time, Mary Noble is in her room at a New York hospital, waiting to have Dr. Allen remove the bandages from her face, so that she can see for the first time what she may expect from the burns that have caused her so much anguish. The doctor now enters her room, followed by Mary's nurse, and we hear...
Well, Mrs. Noble, how are you feeling this morning?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Allen. And a little bit impatient, although I know I shouldn't be.
I know it's difficult for you, but I want you to continue to be brave as you have been right along.
You are going to take off the bandages, as you promised, aren't you?
Yes, I'll remove them this morning. But before I do, I want you to remember not to expect too much.
What do you mean, Dr. Allen?
You must bear in mind that these burns are deep. And they take time to heal. There is no way of hurrying nature.
Yes, I understand that. But does that mean my face will look...
Suppose we don't say any more, Mrs. Noble, and let you see for yourself. Now then, just sit very still for a few moments and try to relax.
I'll do my best, Doctor.
That's right. Now then, nurse, if you'll stand by. First the scissors. That's right. We can cut this outer layer and proceed. Now, just a minute, Mrs. Noble. I want you to be very still.
Yes.
We have to be very careful removing the bandages so that the tender new skin underneath is protected. That's it. Now there's just a little more. Careful. Don't move. I have an idea you'll be very much surprised at the remarkable way you've healed. No, don't speak for a moment. That's right. Now then, this is the final layer. Just try not to be so tense, my dear. Relax. That's better. Now, it's all over.
May I see how I look now, Dr. Allen?
Yes, Mrs. Noble. Just give me that hand mirror, nurse.
I'm almost afraid to look.
There's nothing to be afraid of, Mrs. Noble. Just remember not to expect too much. Now then, I'll hold the mirror up for you and you can see for yourself what progress you've made.
Dr. Allen holds the mirror, and Mary Noble looks at her reflection, wondering what to expect and how far her hopes have been answered. Be sure to be listening Monday to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.